When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dirty Mo Live. Today, we had original plans to talk about, you know, recapping the season and all that, but obviously we lost one of the greatest NASCAR broadcasters of all time, Ken Squire, and so today's live show is going to be about talking about Ken and sharing some stories. We got to sit down with him on our Next Level series. That's where I got
the name. Can I correct you for a second?
There.
He's not one of the greatest NASCAR broadcasters.
He is the greatest.
He's one of the greatest broadcasters.
Yeah.
Like, forget the sport.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
So this is going to be a special one today. We have Ryan McGee of ESPN calling in, Rick Allen of NBC calling in to share some stories about Ken, and obviously we have some stories of our own as we were just in Vermont last September to sit down and talk with him. We just posted the full-length interview, so you can go check that out on our Dirty Mo platforms. You know, I was watching the whole thing earlier this week, and gosh, that thing is just, it's too good not to share in its entirety. So we're like, we got to post it. And so you can go watch the conversation start to finish. It's about 2 hours and 15 minutes, mm-hmm. something like that. So
one of my favorite things is listening to a good storyteller.
Oh,
and Ken,
no
is
better than Ken.
One of the best. So yeah, it's if you love hearing some guys tell some good stories, go watch that for sure.
Yeah. Andrew Carlin, by the way, with Dalton Greco, Travis Rockhold. Here. But yeah, it has been, I don't know about you guys, but seeing all the tributes on social media and people posting their favorite Ken Squire-ism or their favorite call of his, or we're going to talk to McGee in a little bit. You know, they recreated the movie scene that Ken Squire was in. The tributes have been so cool to see this week and especially today. Like, anything of your guys's, like, stick out to you as one of the cooler tributes you've seen?
I'm trying to pull up Dale's while you're talking.
I love seeing the 79
yes.
call in that replay. Like, yeah. That is just, that is the most iconic call, I think, in NASCAR history.
I think, you know, we were talking a little bit before the stream started that without someone like Ken, like, we would not be sitting here today
yeah.
doing what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, that propelled the sport in such a position that we're able to now reap the benefits of it, you know, some 50 years later, almost. And, you know, it's one of those things that you don't realize how important he was until you get to a point like this. And I think that Dale mentioned that in his tweet a little bit.
Here's Dale's tweet. When I first got my job as an announcer on NBC, I wrote down a full page of Squireisms that the legendary Ken Squire used during his career. I tried to use one per race during my rookie broadcasting season. Ken is the standard of excellence for any NASCAR broadcast.
For any broadcast.
So,
yeah, you know.
And just that, what made me think of that is Dave Moody told a great story, and it's kind of similar to what Dale did there. And it's like the Ken Squire School of Broadcasting, you can learn so much from that. And from that point is Dale tried to use one Squireism a race. Well, Dave Moody told me the greatest story last year that Ken Squire, one of the lessons was, I want you to go home and come up with 20 different ways to say side by side. And then come up with that. And he gave Ken the list, wheel to wheel, door to door, side by side. And Ken's like, I want you to use every single one of those in the race tonight. People don't want to hear the same thing twice. People don't want to hear it. And I don't know, that's just like, if you're a broadcaster, that is such a valuable, like, vocabulary. He was the king of that, man.
It's not even for broadcasters. It's for people who are, you know, do anything in life. You know, don't necessarily do the same thing twice. You know, find new experiences, find new ways to explain and describe what you're seeing in front of you. And that speaks to someone like me who deals with words a lot. I love it.
Well, we mentioned we're going to have some people calling into the show. Alex Timms, our producer here in the studio, is going to give Ryan McGee a call of ESPN and Travis, what was the movie scene? And we can ask McGee. What was the movie scene that we were watching
up
his
Twitter account? No, he did.
It was in Stroker.
It was the recreation of Stroker.
It was him and Corey LaJoy. And so, they did it, and then McGee tweeted that he showed it to Ken and asked him for review. And Ken, this is a quote: "I've seen better acting in a toilet paper commercial."
Yeah,
and
that's
I think
hilarious.
That quote, like, just watching videos and your interviews and stuff, Ken's sense of humor is just the delivery of it. It makes sense. He's such a great broadcaster, but it was perfect.
Well, let's hear from McGee.
I don't think he's.
Yes, I think Tim's is hooking it up. He's hooking the system up to get McGee here in the room. Ryan, do we got you?
Yes, sir. How
we
are you
got
doing?
You. Good to hear from you, McGee.
Good to hear from you, man. I've been watching a lot of you today. Those amazing conversations that you have with Ken Squire. I think a lot of people have. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I've said it so many times. Like that 2 days we got to spend in Vermont. Like I will cherish those forever. And just to let the stories and let Ken roll with the tapes, man. It was super cool. But how are you doing? We were just before we brought you on. We were talking about you recreating that scene of Ken Squire from the movie Stroker.
Yeah,
that was great.
Now that was so. Corey LaJoy called. This was 2 years ago. He called and he goes, "Hey man, we have an idea, and would you be willing to participate?" And he said, "You know, I know you got to check your people, and it's a sponsored thing, whatever else, and so on." So I go, "What is it?" He goes, "Well, we're going to recreate Ken Squire scene from Stroke Race." I go, "Yeah, I'm not calling anyone. I'm just going to do that." So I didn't ask for permission. I just showed up, and Corey goes, "Do you need me to send you a script?" I go, "Nope, I know it. I know that scene." And so yeah, it was a great day. And the funny part was, so it was the scene where Stroke Race and Lugs Harvey are arguing, and all of a sudden they change their faces because Squire attacked them, you know, with the microphone and wanted the story, and Squire gets so angry, and he goes, Just once, I want you guys to tell me the real story. And he drops a bad word. So I did the same thing. And Ken told me later, I asked him, I said, "Hey, did you see me do this thing for Stark Race?" And he said, "Yeah." I said, "What did you think?" He goes, "I've seen better acting in toilet paper commercials." And if you knew Ken, then you knew, yes, that was an insult, but that also was a compliment. So I took it.
Yeah.
McGee, what will be your lasting memory of your interactions with Ken?
You know, it's funny because it's special, and we talk about this all the time. Those of us kind of my age, you know, me, Marty Smith, Nate Ryan, you know, Dusty Long, you know, Jennifer Iyer, those of us that showed up in the late 90s, we kind of caught the sport at this crazy time. And Dale Jr. and I have talked about this, where you were in the garage with the legends of the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, and you were also in the garage with, you know, with the Jeff Gordons and the Dale Juniors and the Kevin Harvicks and those who were just getting going. And what always struck me, and I've always remembered this, were how in the media center, to me, it was like the race car drivers, right? When young race car drivers come along, the great ones will put your arm around you and say, "All right, let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Why did you do this? You know, don't do that anymore. Okay, do it this way." And for my people in the media center, we had Barney Hall and we had Tom Higgins and we had Steve Wade and we had Ken Squire, and no one was bigger than Ken. You know, you're talking about me showing up in the 90s. Now he was on CBS, and on the weekends when he wasn't on CBS, he was on TBS. And when he wasn't on either one of those, you know, he's on the radio. And so he was the voice of the sports. And for him to put his arm around me and say, "You need to not do this, or you need to keep doing that." The fact that he would do that without me even asking, because I was too scared to ask. That's my lasting memory, is the advice that he gave me then. I got a story that just went up on ESPN.com 5 minutes ago. And, you know, it ends with three of the things that he told me as a media member to always remember. And I've always remembered it ever since.
I was going to say, and for those watching here live on YouTube, like, definitely go check out that article. I will after we go live here. But and it sounds like you allude to it in the story that you put out. But like some of those examples, like "don't do this, don't do that," or "do this, do that." Do you remember like any specific pieces of advice?
Yeah, I mean, what I remember all the time is he would say, you know, "Never forget as big as this sport gets, above all else, it's about common men doing uncommon things.
Yeah.
You know, and he always, you know, one of the last conversations I had, I think it might be the last time I talked to him. You guys know I'm always wearing like Star Wars and Marvel stuff. And I have this Captain America ring I wear all the time. And Ken grabbed my hand and he pointed at the ring and he said, you know, it's no wonder you like superheroes. He said, because we're surrounded by them all the time in the garage. And he's right. And one of the things that he told me years ago was, he said, you know, your job is to connect every man with Superman and Superman with every man. And it was that idea. And the other thing, I've applied this to writing, I've applied it to broadcasting, all that was, he always said, don't settle for ordinary words of description when extraordinary words are available to you. And if you go back and listen to his, not even his most memorable moments as a broadcaster, just go listen to like lap 71.
Yeah.
Of the 1984 Daytona 500. And it's not just this guy's making a pass for the lead. He explodes into the lead or into the lead, you know, and it's not just that guy blew an engine. He grenaded an engine and it detonated. Like he would always use those extra words to make the moment feel bigger, you know, sometimes even than it actually was.
That is brilliant. I mean, two things you said there, and there's one thing that I think translates to today, especially you can comment on this, you know, currently following the sport among many others. It's like, it was never lost on Ken the extraordinary efforts that these race car drivers are going through. And sometimes we forget these guys are badasses. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, that is why we watch. That is why we tune in. Sometimes we don't play into that as much. That's a thing of brilliance that I think, man, we need to follow that. We need to follow that today. Not saying we don't, but I mean, it was never lost on him, that side of it.
Yeah.
And communicating that. Like that was the big thing that Ken always would remind you of, and anybody who ever worked with him, you know, he would tell you all the time, you know, it was the guy at home on his couch watching the race needs to appreciate the fact that these men and women behind the wheel could die at any time. Right. And the people that go over the wall in pit stops, you know, they make what is the least routine ever look routine. Yeah. And he says, so we have to remind them of that all the time. And you know, the great ones, I think about Barney Hall. I think about Paul Page, the voice of the Indy 500 forever. You know, I think about Ken, but they have an ability to, you'll be in the other room. Best compliment I can give a broadcaster is, a sports broadcaster, if you're in the other room, you know, making a drink or washing dishes or whatever, they can do just the right thing with the inflection in their voice, mm-hmm. or just the right thing with their choice of words to make you run back into the room. Because and only at the right time. You don't do it all the time. You just do it when it deserves it. And that's what Ken was always the master of. And all these broadcasters, Mike Joy, I mean, you know, my friend Mike Massaro, the people that all grew up learning under, you know, all the guys in MRN, Dave Moody, they learned under Squire, and they learned that, which is, you know, you can't mash the gas all the time vocally, but when you do, let them know at home, all right, you need to pay attention right now.
Absolutely. Ryan, this is Dalton here. I do social media for Dirty Mo.
Yeah, man.
But I just wanted to add to that point that you made. You know, Ken was part of captivating the senses of our audience. You know, there was the visual aspect of the cars going around the track, the audio of him, and you know, obviously if you're at the track, the smells of rubber and gas and all of that. And I think that plays into people like me who do write for a living, and just, you know, you made a great point earlier of like, you have the opportunity to use these extraordinary words to, you know, communicate with the public. And it's amazing. We were talking about right before we got on the phone with you how someone that you didn't even realize impacted you has impacted you in a way. So I guarantee that there's times where I could look back on my career and say that, wow, that was almost a Squireism that I kind of stumbled upon. But outside of that, I did want to ask you if there was a marquee moment or a Squireism that you can recall that stood out to you over his career in NASCAR?
Well, I mean, the answer to that is always going to be the 79 Daytona 500. Yeah. And and it's not, you go back and watch that. Gosh, I watched it so many times, but you go back and watch that. And if you listen to what he said, it's the perfect example of listening to what he says, because it wasn't what everyone remembers is, and there's a fight, right? When they cut, you know, so Richard Petty's rolling down the pit lane and headed to victory lane, and the crew's all over the car. And then all of a sudden Ken goes, and there's a fight. But it wasn't just that part. That's the part everyone remembers. But then in a very small group of words, I mean, he says, and there's a fight. And he says, between Cale Yarborough and Donnie Allison. And then what I always remember is him saying, their temper's overflowing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then he says, they're angry. And then he says, they know they have lost, and what a bitter defeat. And then he shuts up. And so he tells everyone so much in such a short period of time. And that's what I go back to. Like, again, it's that idea of don't use, you know, ordinary words when extraordinary words are available to you. And it's just finding, you know, the greatest challenge, you guys know this, the greatest challenge with us, with this sport, is that we go back to the same racetracks. You know, we cover the same 40, you know, guys in the Cup Series all the time. You know, we're dealing with the same four-tire pit stop or two-tire pit stop, but it's finding different language to express those things. Mm-hmm. It's been the biggest challenge of my career in 30 years, which is finding new ways to say a guy took the lead, right? And Ken would do it every single weekend. And he'd do it five different ways during a race. He was like a human thesaurus. And so that we take for granted. Like, to your point, these things happen and you hear these things, and it's so good and it's so smooth. It's like he would say about pit stops. These guys are taking an impossible situation and making it look very routine. That's what Ken did. I mean, he did it every time he's in front of a microphone.
McGee, what are some of your favorite Squire-isms that he had over the years?
Well, I have shamelessly, and he knew this, I have shamelessly used, you know, the grenade. He grenaded it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too good. I mean, that's, you know, and again, it tells you a whole lot about that. You know, it grenades the engine and detonates it at the start-finish
line.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. And he would always talk about when a guy, you know, back in the slingshot days in the 80s, when, you know, CBS always did the Daytona 500, and they'd use the Talladega, the second Talladega race. And back then, you knew the slingshot move was coming. So you'd spend 15 laps waiting on the number two guy to finally make his move. And so as a result, you know, the number two guy would always have to, at some point, have to step out just a little bit, and he's trying to get air into the engine. Otherwise, it's going to overheat and blow. And he would always talk about guzzling up the air. He gallops out, and now he's gobbling up the air. And that car's gobbling up the oxygen. And I used to love that because, you know, it humanized a race car. Which, you know, that car's out there eating, man. And it's, you know, the kids now all say, you know, right, we're gonna eat, man, they're eating. He said that 40 years ago.
Man.
One of my favorites is, you know, similar to like the Daytona, like when they were all kind of in a line, they're choo-choo training down the back straightaway. I love that one, man. Yeah,
that's it. Well, and listen, Great American Race, that's Ken.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's him. You know, it's we take it for granted now. It's just what we call the race. But that's, again, that's him taking the Daytona 500, which didn't need another name because it's the Daytona 500, and he came up with that, the Great American Race. And now, you know, you can just say that, and people automatically know that you're talking about the Daytona 500.
I kind of have a list of Squire-isms. When someone crashed out, hopes have evaporated.
Yeah.
Spinning down the back straightaway. Spinning, splashing down the back straightaway. Slithering and sliding along. Slipping and sliding through cars. Resting beautifully in third. Like, and the list goes on and on. But, yeah, so many great ones. McGee.
The Oklahoma land rush.
Yeah, the Oklahoma land rush.
The guys
would
spread out on the back stretch at Talladega in particular. They'd spread out. You know, they'd be four wide, three deep, and he would say it's an Oklahoma land rush. He used that one a bunch. You know,
said
it never got old.
You said detonate. The engine detonates, right?
Yeah, like a grenade.
Yeah, like there's one he hand grenades himself to lead or something. Like, nobody talks like that. That is so Ken Squire, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyways, McGee, thanks so much for jumping on. It's great to hear from you, those Ken Squire stories. I mean, even just you telling me some of the lessons that he taught you, man, I'm gonna apply some of those. So
no, you can apply that extraordinary why settle for ordinary words.
Yeah,
I literally use that every single day of my life.
I mean, and it's so, especially for you as a sports writer.
Yep.
And for us working in sports and around athletes, like, you sometimes it gets lost too often that these people are extraordinary. Mm-hmm. So, that resonated with me a lot. So, anyways, McGee, thanks so much for coming on. We'll let you go. And, man, we got to get you on more often. It's good to hear from you.
Anytime, boys. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, man.
Awesome.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You know, you just brought people. When I was listening to his Hall of Fame speech, he plays. If I took a drink every time he said people, my beard would be gone. But he cared about the people of the sport, and he understood that the sport without the people it's nothing.
And that was so much of my conversation with Ken. And every time in such a Ken Squire fashion, it was beautiful. Every time I asked him a question, kind of about him, he always found one of those extraordinary characters that he loved to cover. And he told the story about them. So, Travis, like, to your point, he just absolutely loved the stars and heroes of the sport of NASCAR.
Someone just brought up a good one, a good Squireism in the chat, that Darrell Waltrip was holding onto the lead like a hammerhead shark. That is so good.
I mean, Hope is Evaporated is one that you can apply anywhere, to any sport.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely amazing. And McGee's article, if you go to his Twitter account, it's up there. So, go...
I will be
after this
that.
And go read that because it's. I was just kind of skimmed through during the interview to see if there's anything, and it's a good one.
Yeah, man, that's so good. Like, and this is me just reacting real time to like that. And obviously, you know, we knew from Ken, like that was his big thing, is uncommon man, common man doing uncommon deeds. But the way McGee teed it up and the way he shared that Ken told him how to follow it, it's like, that's how you got
to
do it.
There's another one. Tell grandma to put her teeth in her pocket.
Yes. Yes. So actually, when I talked to Dave Moody, that was his favorite one. And it sounds like we've got another person coming in. Rick Allen of NBC, NASCAR and NBC, is joining us here on Dirty Mo Live. And I think Tim's is hooking up the phone, and I think we got him. Rick, do we got you?
You got me, Andrew. How are you, bud?
Doing good. How are you?
I am well.
So we're live here sharing stories of Ken Squire, you know, obviously one of the greatest NASCAR broadcasters to ever do it. I know he has crossed paths with you guys at NBC and you yourself many times. So just first of all, you know, Ken Squire, you know, what does he mean to you?
Well, you said one of. I think Ken Squire was the best.
Yeah.
I think he set the standard that all of us have tried to, you know, come close to. But just Ken was that guy who, when we would have a production meeting, especially over the last couple of years at NBC, when he would walk into the room, everybody would just feel different, because you knew you were in the presence of greatness. Like, we all kind of knew that the reason we all had jobs was because of him.
Yeah.
And that was just the aura that he brought into a room with him. And then just, you know, everybody always talks about, you know, his storytelling and everything, but really just his voice, just the way he would deliver a sentence, even in a production meeting or just talking to you casually.
Yeah.
You were just in awe, and it was like you were taken aback to, you know, the great calls of all time that he was a part of. And you just felt like you were there and with him. And it was really, he just had a presence about him and was a really great person and was generous with his time and his advice, and just a really fun person to be with, just because you knew that you could, you know, you could kind of just absorb his presence and, you know, what he was able to do for the sport. And so just a, you know, a big loss, obviously, for the sport, for his family, for all his friends. But he changed this sport, and he brought this sport to prominence. And so I'm just thankful that, you know, I was able to work with him and then also just call him a friend.
We had a great conversation just before you jumped on with Ryan McGee, who was sharing us some of like the best advice that Ken Squire gave him. And, you know, the biggest thing that we took away from it was Ken seemed to find a way to make a common person doing uncommon deeds seem so extraordinary. And that was like the biggest lesson McGee has taken away from Ken. Like, what do you, obviously, as a play-by-play broadcaster, someone who is in the same role that Ken used to do, what are some of the takeaways, lessons you've learned from Ken over the years?
I think just the little details. I think the, you know, when he would tell everyone somebody's hometown, or he would, you know, just give a little detail, yeah, about someone that there was a connection then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm connected to this person because of that little detail. And those are the things that I feel like I learned from Ken, that he just, it was easy for him. Like, it was, that was part of his vocabulary to just mention, you know, somebody's hometown or, you know, somebody's relative or something about a person that you're like, oh, okay, I get it. I understand. And so that was the thing that I think I took from Ken, is just give us a little nugget about someone that connects us with them. And I've tried to utilize that in every broadcast I've ever done. And so, you know, he's had an influence on all of us in different ways. And we all probably take a little nugget of knowledge that Ken has given us, and we all try to, you know, use that to the best that we can. But that's what Ken was. He was full of nuggets of knowledge of the way that I think we all wanted to just present the sport to the fans.
Rick, you know how hard it is to call the ending of a race. What do you make of Ken in 1979 calling that Daytona 500? Because he didn't miss a thing, and you know, you didn't have all the screens and everything that you guys have now at your disposal. Like, what do you just make of that ending of that race as a play-by-play announcer?
Well, I think one of the things that made Ken great was things didn't overwhelm him. And that's another thing that, you know, you try to take from Ken is that you have to be in the present. And you have to just, you know, convey what people might not understand that are watching. Just give them a little bit of information. But he also knew to lay out. And at the end of races, you know, that especially the 79 race, you know, there was a big wreck on the backstretch. But he also knew that you've got to call the end of this race because that's extremely important. But then get back to what took place on the backstretch, which involved, you know, the wreck and a fight, you know, and emotions are, you know, overwhelming. And I mean, it just, that, those are the things that you just, you want to make sure as a broadcaster that you pick up on the little things that happen. And in so few words, if you can express kind of a way to get people to feel what is happening or what they're seeing. And I think that's what I try to do at every ending of every race I call. And I think that's what Ken, you know, did magically, especially there in 79 when he brought NASCAR to the world.
Definitely, Rick. I mean, we've been sitting here all day kind of going through what our favorite Squireisms are, and even our YouTube chat has been filling some in. Someone said earlier that Darrell Waltrip was commanding the lead like a hammerhead shark. Do you have any specific ones off the top of your mind that you can remember that stick out to you?
Well, there's plenty. And if you talk to the guy who owns the studio you guys are sitting in, he actually, when he started broadcasting with NBC, he had a notebook and he wrote down like a full page of Squireisms. And that was, and he told me about it when he did it. He said, you know, I want to write these things down, or I want to try to incorporate them, because Squire was the standard. He was the guy. And so he wrote down a ton of them. I mean, you think about the Oklahoma Land Rush, or he coined, obviously, the Great American Race, or the Alabama Gang. You guys just used one of the lines that he had, you know, said, common men doing uncommon things.
Yeah.
Lined up down the backstretch like a freight train. You know, just so many things. I think one of his best lines that, you know, encompassed the way that he could use words to make you feel. And I think when he said, whatever stock car racing is, Dale Earnhardt was.
Yes. Yes.
And I just, you just immediately, you just feel that. And I think everybody associated Dale Earnhardt immediately with the entire sport. And it was because of a very common, I mean, just a simple line that we heard Ken say, and it brought it all full circle. You know, whatever stock car racing is, Dale Earnhardt was.
Gosh. Yeah.
It's powerful.
It's brilliant, like the simplicity yet how powerful that was. We got a comment from our YouTube chat. Josh Briggs wanted to know, like, what was it like sharing the booth with Ken during Darlington Throwback Weekend 2015, I think through 2017, and kind of, you know, giving the handoff to them. I think it was during stage two. You could correct me if I'm wrong, but like, what was that whole experience like with Ken jumping on the NBC broadcast?
Well, you know, I try to stay as professional as possible throughout the whole broadcast. But I think, if I remember correctly, I remember Letart, once we had thrown it over, and I think it came back to us, Letart was like a little kid, and he just said it. And that's probably one of the best things about Steve, too, is he'll just speak whatever comes to his mind. But he said, I can't believe we just threw it to like Ken Squire, or I can't believe Ken Squire just threw it back to us. And it was so surreal, because you think, you know what? That's right. He's the greatest that's ever done it. And we're a part of the same broadcast that he's a part of. And it was so much fun to just listen and be a part of that. And you know, it was an honor. It was an honor to be the same broadcast that he was a part of. And we had, like I said, that was probably where I got the closest to Ken, was during production meetings, or anytime we'd be sitting in the production trailer and just talking, just conversing. And that's where, you know, you just try to soak in everything that he says, and just his mannerisms and the tone of his voice, the pitch, the rhythm, just so many things that he did that has really just set the standard for what we all try to do.
What was your reaction when you found out that you'd be sharing a booth with him? Were you nervous, or what was going through your mind knowing that you're going to be sharing it with the legend and a goat?
Not nervous, but if I remember the first time, I believe I tried to incorporate a Squireism to bring him into the broadcast. And so it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was an honor just to be on the same broadcast with him. And he downplayed everything. You know, he was, even when, you know, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, we talked backstage, and just he would downplay everything and make you feel comfortable. So, you know, as a broadcaster, you felt like, I mean, I felt like I was supposed to be there. And that was another one of the great things that Ken was able to do, is just make you feel comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Well, Rick, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to share some Ken Squire stories. Congrats to you guys and the NBC team on finishing a fantastic NASCAR season, and it was great to hear from you.
Thank you, guys. I want to leave with what Eric Jones posted on Twitter. Yes. I don't know if everybody else has done it, but
yes,
he wrote, pretty sad news this morning. He voiced a generation and will never be replaced. We'll miss you, Ken. Sincerely, that Jones boy.
It's too good.
Brilliant. That is so good.
It was awesome. Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Well, awesome. Yeah, that was, again, more great stories from Rick Allen.
So, like, he shared a booth with him. You were in his house doing the interview. What was that like?
I mean, it was, like I said to McGee, I've said it on Twitter and you know, just a handful of people, like, it was such an unbelievable experience. The entire Squire family, you know, Ashley, his daughter, Pam, his caretaker, like, they truly made us feel like home. And, like, this, the next level production, man, like, it was in his house. We were setting cameras up in his living room, you know, while he was eating breakfast, we were getting set up. Like, they allowed us into his space, and just how gracious they were throughout the entire thing. Ashley, she's like, hey, I'm going to grab breakfast. You want to get anything? Like, I truly felt like I was part of the Squire family, and that's the one thing I'll always remember. I mean, heck, ever since that day, Ashley Squire and I have been in, you know, communication, just checking in on each other. She loves the stuff. Hey, great, I saw a video with Dale Jr. Download. That was awesome. It's like, I truly feel like, you know, I'm part of the family now, and that's just how they treated everybody, and how Ken treated people. You heard McGee and Rick Allen say the same thing. It's just, they really made people feel comfortable, and that's how we felt, at least shooting the next level production there.
That goes to Travis's point earlier when Ken was talking about it in his Hall of Fame speech, that it was all about the people. And
yeah,
I mean, you're testament to that, of, you know, just being able to infiltrate his space and ask him, prod him with questions, and he was happy to answer them, and he was happy to talk to you. And that's one of the things that, you know, before this, I didn't know much about Ken Squire before working here. Obviously, I knew from racing's past and his history, but diving into the stuff that you did, man, just to hear him at the end say, you know, I'm glad I got to talk to you.
Yeah.
Should be the other way around. You know what I mean? Like, in a way, it should be like, you're glad to talk to him. But man, what a guy. And for him to be able to have us all come together like this just shows how important of a man he was. So
Yeah, I wrote details down. I have like an app that I have on my phone, yep, that I just like every day, just a little journal entry. What did I do? You know, and that Ken Squire day was like 3 pages long of just details.
What was that like? Like going up there, were you, like, what were your emotions?
You know, this was the, I knew it was a big deal. I mean, to say I wasn't nervous is a lie. Like, I wanted to make sure I could capture the interview and hit the right stories the best possible way. So, it was important for me to make sure that I showcase Ken in the best way possible. I mean, really, after it all went down, I mean, he made it easy on me with just being able to share stories. And I'll never forget, like, after we wrapped the interview, before the interview, he just wanted to share stuff, man. Like, it didn't matter if the cameras were rolling or not. Like, he was just telling stories left and right. And I really think that just, that speaks to who Ken Squire is and was. Like, he was the best storyteller, you know? But the little details I remember, like, in the morning, like we said, we were setting up while he's eating breakfast. Well, he had the radio station on to WDEV, which was the radio station he cut his teeth, you know, through. And if I remember correctly, it was like, it was one of those radio programs where people would call in with stuff to sell. You know, it was that type of, like, small town radio show. And I remember there was some guy, he called in to WDV to sell his aluminum ladder. And, like, that was the type of programming, you know, that was on in the morning that Ken would eat breakfast to.
Yeah,
that was super cool.
If you're watching it right now, there's a photo.
Oh, yeah, we've got some photos up on the screen. That's our entire crew, his living room. He loved his dog, Matilda. Oh, my God. He absolutely loved her. She would come right up next to him and sit down, and he would pet her head. Oh, you're such a good girl. Like, he loved her. And, you know, she was barking. She wanted to sit next to Ken during the whole interview, so she had to go outside on the porch. And actually, if you go and watch the interview, there are many moments, I think we've got it up on screen, where she is at the back porch, and you can visibly see her. Yeah, so there's Ken and his dog. And, yeah, if you go to the interview, there are certain parts. She will lay down at the back porch and just wait for Ken to wrap up so she can come back inside and spend time with him. It was just little details like that. That was it was really cool to just be in his house and environment.
There was two things that were evident in your interview. He loved NASCAR because he was like baseball or tennis.
Yeah.
Like
he
loved NASCAR and he loved Vermont. Yeah. And looking at these photos, I can see why at his place, why he loved. This is a beautiful scenery, but the passion also, it struck me, someone from Vermont, of his passion for NASCAR was interesting. And think about where the sport is. It wasn't just a great announcer. Think about MRN, if not for him.
Yeah.
He created a track. Like, he wasn't just someone that, like, wasn't up, like, a announcer that, you know, was the next one to, and became the greatest. Like, he helped build this industry.
Rob in the YouTube chat says, I grew up in Waterbury, Vermont, listening to WDEV, especially when there was a snowstorm, hoping to hear my school was canceled, and Ken would announce the schools.
That's cool better than that I ever had.
Could you imagine Ken Squire delivers you the great news that school's canceled for the day? Like, that's amazing.
I had some random dude, like, saying my school's canceled. You guys, you had Ken Squire. Like, that's not fair.
I wonder what squireism he used. Like, there's a blanket on the ground.
What kind of squireism would he use?
The buses are canceled, slipping and sliding across the, like, it's got to be, you know what I mean? It's not just like, oh, no, William Henry High School isn't going.
No, there's no
it's
way.
It's definitely a whole story.
Rob, I want to hear you comment in the chat. Like, how did he announce that school was canceled? It's got to be in the most Ken Squire way possible. And like I said, Ashley Squire was so great. Like, she showed us around Thunder Road, obviously the track that Ken made. We went to WDEV, the radio station, even had lunch at Ken's favorite restaurant, which was right around the corner from WDEV. So, like, we were embedded in this small town. It was super cool.
Small town guy with a nationwide, worldwide voice.
Yeah, and he never left home either, which is super cool.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. True to his roots. And, man, I feel like we could sit here and do this all day. I would love to hear some more Squireisms from the chat, if they can find any. I saw one earlier that was From the 1990 Daytona 500, Dale Sr.'s leading the race, and Derek Cope is right behind him. And Ken goes, is there anyone that can cope with the man in black? You know, like made a point to be, say, Cope, you know, with Derek Cope right on his tail.
Oh,
yeah.
That's clever. That's super clever. I mean, to me, the moments that will always stick out for this Ken Squire conversation were, and you see a little bit of it, but it was his quick wit and humor. And he had such a dry sense of humor about it. And he's like, if you caught it, it was the funniest thing you've ever heard. Because he wouldn't smile. He wouldn't, like, you. I mean, his delivery was spot on.
Master of delivery.
He was a master of that type of delivery. But, like, after the interview, we asked, like, hey, can we get a picture? And he's like, no. And we actually, this is at the end of our full YouTube video. It's like the post-credit scene.
I think, you know what? I think you might need to just tell people to go watch it.
Yeah. I wouldn't,
I think
I
they
wouldn't
need
show
to,
your hand.
It's so funny.
I don't
want
it good. It's so you're not going to do it justice. So you, and I, you know,
we
you
share
can,
an office
but.
Together, and Curlin is losing his mind the other day. And he's like, this is funny. I'm like, Andrew, it better be funny.
A lot of stuff that Andrew says is funny sometimes
he,
isn't.
I call him chuckles because he chuckles. Like, I'm like, this better be. And it had me rolling. So, like, do not say it. People just go and watch it. Like, I promise you, it'll be worth it. The one thing we talked about, the 1979, is he was just so calm in that. He did. And then, well, if people don't know, he's also directing at the end, being a spotter, because the camera's not in the right spot.
Yeah. And I think we've got Brandon Brown, our old DBC editor and producer, who wanted to come on and share some Ken Squire stories. Brandon, good to hear from you. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. We're just up here at South Boston Speedway. We're doing some lovely postseason accounting work and scheduling work and preparing for next season. And yeah, obviously, you know, we're up here in South Boston now, and I miss you guys.
We miss you too.
We miss you, man.
Same.
Travis still isn't over the whole bologna thing.
I know, but we'll bring him up here to South Boston. We'll get him a bologna burger with some, you know, some peppers and onions and mustards, and he'll turn his tide right away. But yeah. How are y'all doing?
We're doing good. We've been sharing our Ken Squire stories. And by the way, and Brandon, I want to ask you, you know, earliest memory of Ken Squire, but I want to share mine. It's a super quick one. I remember, gosh, it was 2018, 2017. The July Daytona race, when Ken was doing some work with NBC, he was in the media center, and I had to introduce myself to him. And so I walk over, hi, Mr. Squire, my name's Andrew Curlin. Like, I want to be what you are one day, and, you know, I love everything you've done for the sport. I kind of, you know, gave my whole pitch and appreciation, and he just goes, oh, shit, we got another one.
It was like
I'll never forget it. It was the perfect, you know, we were talking about Ken's quick wit. Like, that was the best way to meet Ken Squire ever. So that was my earliest memory. Brandon, like, do you have an earliest Ken Squire memory?
All right. Well, I've got my early memories from my childhood, but I'll give you mine from when I actually met him. I met him one time, and he was doing the PA for the Coca-Cola 600 weekend. And I was up in the media center. I was there. This was my first experience doing NASCAR media, anything. Jenna Fryer went to West Virginia University, and she came to speak at my class. And I was like, I've got to go shadow her. I've got to do something. So she invited me to the Coke 600 weekend. And I was up in the press box with Jim Utter, learning how to cover what was then the Nationwide Series in 2008. And Ken, I guess, was doing the PA or something, and they had the media buffet between the rooms. And I go, and I'm getting my food, like, before the race or during a break or something, and I look to my left, and it was Ken Squire. And Ken was the reason that I went to broadcasting school.
Wow.
Ken was one of my absolute heroes as a child. And when I say hero, I mean hero. Like, he shaped my childhood, and we'll get into that in a second. But I look, and he's just, you know, getting his food at the buffet, and I'm like shaking because I was just starstruck. This is my hero. And I looked at him, and I'm like, hi, Ken, Brandon Brown. I'm kind of like you, like I had to introduce myself. I had to tell him how important he was
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
And of course he's got to get back to the room, and he drops his food right there on the counter, and he turns, he shakes my hand, he looks at me right in the eye, and he goes, "Good to know you." And he didn't give me a smart Alec answer like he gave you, but it was just, he shook my hand and he picked his food up and then he went on his way, and I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Like, and I know, Andrew, I'm so jealous of you that you got to sit down with him and tell those stories, and you did such a wonderful job with it. So I'll be infinitely jealous forever that you got to do that. But that was Ken. Like, I'm so, you know, glad that he was like a part of my life watching him growing up.
You mentioned those childhood moments. Like, what are the memories of hearing, watching Ken Squire?
Oh my gosh. I mean, obviously everyone knows the Daytona 500 and stuff. So I started watching NASCAR in 1993. You know, his call of, you know, turning it over to Ned on that first lap on the final lap of that race, was kind of my introduction to Ken and how he was. But my memories of Ken came in, you know, in 1994 when I really started watching the race. My favorite race of all time is the 1994 Miller Genuine Draft 400 at Michigan. And if you go back on YouTube and watch the intro to that race, like, it always makes me teary-eyed. And I'm getting a little emotional, like, just talking about it right now. Go back and watch that race. It was the Father's Day race. And he does this ridiculously eloquent open of the CBS broadcast talking about fathers and racing and the Petties and the Jarretts, and they intro, and then they come in with Michael and Darrell Waltrip. Like, just go watch it. Like, I have listened to him. I could recite it from memory, right? I'm not going to, but I can recite it from memory right now. And my biggest thing for Ken was that, like, whenever you watched a race on CBS or TBS during the 90s, when I did, he would make every single moment of any race that you were watching feel like the most important thing in the entire world was going on that track at that moment. He just had that way. And he's the reason that I became so enthralled with racing. And the reason that I'm a fan is because of the way that he told those stories. And I would always look forward to a race on CBS and TBS because those races shaped my fandom because he was so great at what he did.
I'm telling you, like, what you just said right there, we had McGee, Rick Allen on earlier, and it's like, I knew this before, but the lesson, at least for everyone watching on YouTube, and Brandon, you made a perfect another example of it, is like just really showcasing how elite and how special whatever you were watching was.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know?
Oh my gosh.
Well, I think, go ahead. I was going to say that I think that there's a lesson for that outside of NASCAR. And, you know, I touched on this a little bit earlier, but making every moment feel important.
Yeah.
And,
man,
you know, like, it's not, we're not going through life, you know, blind. Things are important every day. And so, you know, if Ken can do that in his professional work, or if that can inspire someone like Brandon to want to be a broadcaster, it can also inspire you to take every day and make an extraordinary thing out of the opportunity within the ordinary, like Rick Allen and McGee were both saying. Mm-hmm. So, man, I just love that. I love hearing how he touched different people and just with his voice. It's so crazy now. Oh. Like, it's so awesome.
I was just going to say, there's so many announcers nowadays where they're either always high or they're just low. And it's like, and McGee, I think it was McGee saying, like, you wouldn't be in the kitchen and be like, something's happening.
Yep.
Like, mm-hmm. And that's what he, like, you knew, like, if his voice elevated, like, it was for a reason. Like, he didn't waste words.
Well, he knew when to stop talking.
Yeah.
Like, at the 79 500, he said, they're angry. Their tempers are, you know, boiling over. And then nothing.
Yeah.
And just watching fight. Like, there's an art to the,
like,
pause.
He's on that short list with, like, the Keith Jacksons of, like, if you're going to get into this broadcasting career, like, don't, like, yeah, there's some good announcers right now, but you go watch, you know, Ken Squire and Keith Jackson and those people, like, and see how they handled games.
Yeah, no, I mean, nobody could call a race. Like if the announcers today, no, absolutely no disrespect to anyone because they're all very great, but no one today could call a race like Ken could in his time. Like, that style, that eloquence, that the way that he could spin a story and make you feel like you were absolutely right in there with him and with the drivers, like, all the phrases that he coined, but also simply just, you know, the way that he could position things. Like he would, like, you would know where the drivers were from, his prep work going into the broadcast. Like, you would know where all the drivers were from, their backstories. You would make, he would make you emotionally invested in the people and then the product. And he could make the most boring race, because there were a few of them in the '90s, still make it exciting and make it feel like it was ridiculously important. And you mentioned, like, the way that, you know, he would position and kind of make you feel like life was bigger. I never made it to the NASCAR broadcast booth, but I always tried to take with him, or take with me, like his style into whatever I did on social media. I went back and looked, and if you look on the, go back to the Chicagoland Speedway pages, I would always try to interject some things that Ken said in his broadcasts in my social media. And it was just, that was just his way.
Again, it's about making these race cars, and racing's a weird sport where you see the car, you don't necessarily see the driver.
Right.
And Ken brought the in-car camera over to NASCAR from Australia, and we talked about that in our Next Level interview. One of my favorite quotes of his, because these original in-car cameras, 50 pounds, dangerous. Ken even said, man, if you roll over, that thing'll crush you. And so I'm like, how on earth did you convince these drivers to agree to an in-car camera? And he said, on their faith and my good word. And that was like, that's good enough for me, I guess.
Oh, man. Yeah, because they were so heavy back in the day.
Yeah, they were. So,
and that's like my favorite part of watching the races is the in-car camera.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like Ken was he saw something in Australia. Because they were doing the Bathurst 1000, mm-hmm. I think, mm-hmm. was the race that he saw. And he's like, we need that over here in NASCAR. So, I mean,
I forget the name that was on the screen. But somebody said, if you were on the other side of a hall and you heard Ken's voice, you knew exactly who it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes, of course. I don't know. I didn't get to listen to the first part of your live. Obviously, I'll go back and listen to McGee and Rick Allen and those guys. But I would make the argument, and then maybe they made the argument, that Ken could be the most influential person in NASCAR history because of his work getting that Daytona 500 in 1979 on CBS, giving those people the opportunity to see this race. And that was really where the sport ascended. And then how he nurtured it, how he called it, how he was an ambassador for the sport all the way through NASCAR's growth, up until you really didn't see him on the broadcasts anymore in 2000, 2001, when Fox kind of took over.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Brandon, thanks for taking some time out of your day, share some Ken Squire stories. It's like, I feel like I'm in the moment here listening to you talk about it. Ryan McGee, Rick Allen, of like, man, this guy was super special. So thanks for coming on and sharing some of your Ken Squire memories with us.
Absolutely. I couldn't not talk about Ken. And I would encourage anybody, go on YouTube, find those 90s and 80s CBS, TBS races that he called and just enjoy it. You know, please do that for yourself, because it was awesome.
Absolutely. Brandon Brown, good to hear from you. GM of South Boston.
And now,
great title.
And now, see you guys.
See you, brother.
See you, man.
And now with NASCAR, the archives, like, you can go back and
rewatch
these races, man. Like,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, super cool. And even like another Squire lesson I learned early in our conversation is the law of exaggeration, right? If you're telling a story, man, give them the good details, you know, especially like for radio, you gotta paint a picture. And, you know, sometimes you over-exaggerate a bit. That's what makes a great storyteller.
That's what it's all about.
You know? That's one thing I have tried to. Not that I over-exaggerate my stories. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But it's like telling a good story. You can learn a lot just by listening to how Ken Squire tells a story.
I saw somebody else post that Ken turned a radio into a TV.
I saw that too. What a line that he could turn a radio into a TV.
But when he was doing TV,
that's the line,
he knew that he didn't need to say all those words, and that's where he'd lay out. That's the brilliance. He could call radio and TV. That's two different things to do.
I mean, I guess then he turned the TV into the racetrack and made you feel right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, any closing thoughts for you guys? I have some of my own.
Rest in peace to a legend, and thoughts and prayers to family and friends.
Yeah. Ken's impact will be felt for years and years, decades to come. I was writing some stuff earlier for some of our social posts, and that was one thing that I thought of, is that the great American voice will echo throughout NASCAR's history forever, and he definitely will.
Hear me out here. I'm going to quote a song. It's a Luke Combs song, but I think it perfectly translates over to Ken Squire's legacy, and it's the line, "I will, but my song will never die." Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like Ken Squire's calls, man, that Daytona 500 call, all those legendary moments, man, even when he's not here, those calls will last forever. And, I've been chatting back and forth with his daughter, Ashley, and that has been her favorite part about seeing things this week and the love shown on social media. So if you really want to honor Ken's legacy, man, just keep sharing those things. The family loves to see that. They love the support and appreciation that has been sent out to them and the entire Squire family. So to keep Ken's legacy alive, man, let's just keep replaying those great moments. That's the best way to do it. So,
and make the ordinary extraordinary.
That's it. That's exactly it. So I think that's a great way to end this one. Thanks so much for tuning in. Ken Squire, man, we miss you, but we'll always appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in, Dirty Mo Live.